Cheers. All right, so here we are on podcast number 2. We're going to talk about something that is definitely something that's
in the news, hot right now.
And that's AI, artificial intelligence. It's amazing. Every time I talk to someone, they say, Rob, have you heard about it? And they go to GPT. GPT. And I've used it myself. I've honestly used it myself. So they are definitely good things, but the things we're going to talk about today, things I think people really need to get concerned about. And if you look it up, if you type in issues or negatives about AI, man, it's article after
really?
Article after.
Wow.
So there's some stuff. I'm just going to touch on some stuff, but I'm glad you're here, because this stuff I just want to touch on, but then there's things in here I want to tap into your mind and hear what your thoughts
are.
But some of the stuff was that they're worried about, number one, at kids. They're doing book reports now. Okay, so they're not even doing the work. They just type in, tell me something about George Washington's life. They get this great write-up.
Mm-hmm.
They tweak it, and it's almost impossible for the teacher to know.
To detect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up first and foremost, because as a former educator, I used to teach at the college level, and so as a former educator, plagiarism is a big, big deal. And it's not even about the student cheating, because I think plagiarism deals more with the student cheating themselves, and so that's where the concern comes in.
Yep.
And so in hearing that, you know, I thought everything was ahead of the game with the whole Turnitin. So Turnitin is the system that when people turn in book reports and things of that nature, it runs it through this huge database for familiarity, and then it gives a percentage score.
Really?
So like 10%, 80%, 90% to determine whether or not it's been plagiarized, because in some cases it just means that the student hasn't appropriately cited their resources, but in other cases it's blatant plagiarism.
Right.
But with AI, like you said, it's original content, so it makes it harder to detect. And my concern is that people just aren't getting the most out of learning.
Absolutely. That's the first thing. Because you do a report, back in my day, right? I do a report. You really had to read about it. And then you learn about all the stuff. You're like, wow. And then you start to see both sides.
Mm-hmm.
When you do an AI thing, and it writes it up literally in a minute or two.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of critique it. You have no idea if it's good, right, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just sort of like fulfilling the order without really putting a lot of heart or intention into it, and without gleaning true understanding and comprehension for yourself.
That's right.
And so that's my concern as well, is that AI may prevent some people from doing the work. Like, if you look at it in one aspect, if a person is going to do everything they can do in their own power with their research and their words and their creativity, it can be a really wonderful tool.
Good point.
But if the person's going to do absolutely nothing and only rely on AI solely, it could be a really damaging tool.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people are taking that route, especially if people are using it in the tech world to write posts and articles, but they're not writing a damn thing. They give me an article about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's getting scary.
It's getting scary, and it's adding to the facade of life, because when you think about it, in the past decade and a half, we've become inundated with social media and stuff, and people mostly put good stuff on social media. If you look at social media feeds, you will think everyone's living a spectacular, wonderfully splendid life.
That's right.
That's not anyone's reality.
That's absolutely true.
You know, I tell people all the time, social media is entertainment. So even the information that you gather via social media, that's infotainment. So be careful. It's important to recognize that. And so with artificial intelligence, we're just widening to some degree the whole landscape of the facade life, and that can be dangerous, because people need to use their discernment to decide when AI is useful and when it's not useful, and then bridge the gap in between. But of course, we're a long way off from that.
Way off. And that's the big, so that was, if you folks are following this, so today's August 31st. So as far as I know, the Hollywood strike, I think, is still going on. Writers are worried about Hollywood using AI to write scripts, which is just,
yeah.
And again, it's taking the creativity out of it. So what was this thing saying? Again, this was, I just did a thing, and Forbes was one of the one of the articles came up with 10 or 20 things that were concerning about it. Of course, job displacement. That's a huge concern, man. Misinformation and manipulation. So this is what they have, AI-generated content such as deep fakes, which is when you're looking at a person speaking, but it's not real.
Yeah.
Deep fakes.
And that's scary.
Scary as hell.
Yeah.
Because now someone
really
can say,
scary.
Hey, I saw Lola. Here's a clip. She's talking to a friend about whatever. That's a very scary. And then it's getting very hard, definitely on the content level, because Google at one point said they weren't going to use AI in their search engine. But then they realize it's impossible, or close to impossible, to know, is this article AI generated, or is it someone writing it? So now that's going to start coming into the search criteria.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I read a really good, I'm an avid reader, love books, paper, open, fold, close, seam, love books. So there's this book, I believe, sometimes I read 3 books a week, so I may get them mixed together, but there's this great work of fiction called Hello Beautiful. And so they kind of delve into that a little bit, because in the book, there's a missing girl, and there are all these videos that exist of like women and girls and this girl being tortured and all of this. But police largely are thinking that the videos are AI. So they're telling them, oh, it's not real, and you can see because this is what's happening and this is what's happening. Wow. But it turns out to be very real. The person is missing. They are murdered. But just know that deep fakes, that's something that's real and can be fabricated out there, it's frightening.
And it's only going to get better. As far as the quality, the hard to tell if it's real or not, it's going to get better.
It's only going to get better. And so then, what does that mean for us? And are we wrong as human beings to feel threatened by this technology?
That's a good point. Again, all technology, just because we can do something doesn't make it good. I mean, just because we can do something. But the two things I really want to touch on was dependency on AI, and talking about loss of creativity, critical thinking skills, human intuition. And I was just watching a thing on Netflix. I can't think of the name. I will find it. I'm going to put it right here. But a news reporter is talking about all these different things with AI. And there is one of the series is a girl who has a thing on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's her friend on her phone. She knows it's fake. She installed the app. But she said this friend is truly, truly there for her, which is such bullshit. So,
because it's artificial.
It's artificial. There's that, and then there's the loss of human connection. So I want to kind of ask your thoughts about that with AI. Again, there's some great things with AI, incredible, but I think where it's going for some people.
Absolutely. And so on one hand, I'm really torn, because in the field of mental health, I've seen the benefits of technology to some large degree, in the sense that a lot of people are socially, beyond what's called socially awkward, there are some people that are socially inept, and technology has helped these people find a community.
Online, so it's good.
Find a community online and find a way to connect with others. And there's this distinction that exists between virtual and IRL, which stands for in real life. And when people can take virtual relationships and have them translate to being in real life relationships, I found that it can be quite helpful for some people.
Again, you're talking, when you say So the first part is, but it's a real person, but they're just online.
Mm-hmm.
Got it, okay.
Right. But with the advent of AI, now even these relationships are threatened because it's only safe to assume that at some point people will be interacting with others that are not people at all.
Yeah.
And so that's something to consider. And then AI has the ability to skew or distort even these virtual worlds that people have a certain degree of safety in. And so I worry about all of these components.
And we are seriously at the very tip, like we're at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is it going to be when they do have, I know it sounds crazy, but when I was a kid growing up, we never thought we would see robots. I never thought in my lifetime. I mean, you see it on TV.
Right. It was the Jetsons and other stuff. Yeah.
Because you're going to have robots that are so real and that are the perfect person. And that you, I can see people like, so that again, on this series, what the guy had a, I don't know if you call it a sex doll, because back in the day, the sex dolls truly were a blow-up doll.
Right.
It was ridiculous. Now they are so realistic. And the guy was saying, and again, nothing against, but he's like, no, it's not just sexual. You know, she's there for me for other things also. I'm thinking, dude.
You're alarmed because you're like, really? Yeah.
And so when AI really hits that point where robots are like that.
Well, and I think it's come down to the devaluing of the human component.
Absolutely.
And we have to, as human beings, get back to a place to where we truly value one another and value relationships and connection and comprehension and value art. And so the arts and sciences are being cut in every facet of the world and every realm of the world. And so when you hear about scripts being artificially generated by AI, yes, it can have some substance to it and it may even be good to a certain degree. But me personally, I feel like that human component is something that cannot be overlooked. I'm a writer, so I write lots of things. I write just for the love of writing. One thing that I like to write, I write shows. I've written a sitcom that I feel really good about, and I feel like that because of my experiences as a therapist and my experiences as a woman, that it brings just something really real to the work. And I'm sure that's what all of these writers out here that are striking for better opportunities and better benefits feel. Show some value. Show me what I'm worth. Acknowledge what I'm worth and what I bring. And I think with the onset of AI, it just makes the fight for people that much harder to fight for what they deserve. And to have their craft viewed as valuable.
Yeah.
It will be really nice to see something happen in the lines of cohesion where everything could work as a complement to the next thing. But I think we're some steps away from that.
Yeah, yeah. And again, everything always comes down to money. So if you could have an AI thing generate all this content without paying it because you buy it once, it comes down to money. Again, my concern watching this one young girl with this fake app friend, I don't know what the app is called, but the app is, it's just going to give you what you want from your friend, all the good stuff. And when you have a good friend in your life, she or he's going to say, listen, man, you're making a big mistake.
Right.
Whatever, yeah.
Human beings are complex and multifaceted. So if a friend is only there saying all the right things and telling you only what you want to hear, then you're really getting a misshapen experience of what it means to truly be a friend or have a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like I was saying before, is also the AI content. There are so many people doing blogs and articles now with AI because it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
So AI is never 100% perfect.
No.
So let's say the article, for the hell of it, just to make up a number, it's 90% correct. There's 10% that's really not correct.
Mm-hmm.
But it's out there now as an article. And now it's a year down the road and there are 2 million articles out there that are 90% right. Now the AI, a year from now, is grabbing from that information and now it's 90% of 90%. So it's,
It's like this game of telephone that keeps going and becomes less and less accurate.
That's right.
Yeah, with each incarnation.
Yeah. So the game of telephone, I just want to touch on that because it's funny, I just talked to, honestly, it was my girlfriend, my friend. Like telephone, I said, you remember when you were a kid? So real quick, we did this in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher or somebody would tell you a sentence, whatever it was, and the rule was you had to tell the next person to whisper one time. And if that person didn't get it exactly, they have to get whatever they got and give it to the next person. And by the end of the room, it was so off of what
distorted.
And
yeah.
That's real life. That's
real life. Yeah.
Because everyone has their spin on a story. Everyone has their view. And again, AI, I think, is, wow, man.
And then AI coupled with being in the world of infotainment, we have to wonder how much of what we get is real and how much is it shaped for propaganda purposes and just to keep us, you know, nipping at the bait and going and going and going. So it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
That is an excellent point. So if I want to spread a rumor, right? So I do the one AI one. I say, write me an article for whatever, and it will write it, but it will write it in 2 minutes, Lola. I could put out, seriously, 200 articles in a day.
Exactly.
And if I have access to different websites, then someone does a search and there's all these articles about whatever I'm trying to get past or whatever viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Great example is, again, this is August 31st. It was a couple days ago, there was an article, a guy on YouTube that said there was a rumor about Steve Harvey and his wife, which is not true. His wife had cheated on him, but it immediately caught fire. Everyone's talking about it. And thank God Steve Harvey got out there right away and said, this is such, it's bullshit, is what it is.
Yeah, so let me say this. I stay away from media blogs and all that stuff. Not because I have anything against it, but usually I'm just so busy working that I couldn't pay any attention to that stuff if I wanted to. But I will say this, when I hear stuff about people that have really, that have shown their benevolence and their humanitarian ways, it's always off-putting. And so, because I don't follow the blogs and because I don't really even watch the news, I have nothing to go on but my own discernment and judgment. But when I heard that, I was just like, what? Ridiculousness. Anything can happen to anyone, but I really don't like to see people that have continuously put themselves out front working for the greater good be torn up in the media.
Yep.
It's so damaging. And I have to say that everyone's ability to handle that sort of thing differs. I would guess that Steve and Marjorie Harvey have thick skin. I mean, they've been in the public eye for a long time now. So I definitely hope that they do and wish them and their family all the best. But I just want the public to think about how damaging it is to perpetuate rumors or information that we hear and then to spawn these whole big stories.
Yep, absolutely. And then he's doing an interview somewhere and someone asks, hey, I got to ask you about this. No, you don't have to. It's just...
Right, you don't have to. Yeah. So, but you're choosing to because clickbait, you know, that sort of thing.
That's
but
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Lola, kids today, so we grew up around the same time, but kids today, everything is, it's right there. This phone that you have between social media, I know it's kind of getting off of AI a little bit, but it is with the technology. My dad used to tell me he had a better life, right? Oh, Rob, we had it. And now, of course, I'm saying the same thing. I had a better life than these kids. Because when we went out, we went out. Like I tell my friends, I'll meet you at the club. I'll be there at 10:30 and that's it.
You would really be there and be present and be active.
Yeah. And if I wasn't there, here's the deal. The next day, my friends are like, oh, Rob, you missed a good time. We did this. I'm not seeing it all over the line with pitches. Why am I? Which you look at that, you're like, man, I wish I was there. There's a whole thing that goes. I really think it was a much better, without all the social media and sharing the very best of the best, like you said. They may be having a good time, but I can show that I'm having an incredible time.
Exactly.
With two pictures.
It's just so funny. It's so funny. So I have a great niece that I'm spending a lot of time with. She's in her senior year in high school, so it's a really exciting time for her. And I took her to dinner the other night, and no kidding, she's there, and she gets her phone out, and she's like, "Guess I'm about to watch a movie. Let me see what's on Tubi." We're at dinner.
That's great.
And I said, "No, ma'am, put your phone away. You're going to interact with me. You're going to talk to me. I mean, I can feed you and pay the bill, but I can't get 30 minutes of your time uninterrupted." She's like, "Okay, auntie, what do you want to know?" So I proceeded to dig in and ask her all about her life and her friends. And we had a really nice time. But just that she even thought for a second that you can be on your phone while you're with another person in your company
and watching a movie
that blew my mind. And I'm thinking, I don't feel like it was that long ago when I was sitting across the table from your dad. It was like the mid-2000s or something when he was growing up, and now is that different already? That's amazing to me.
It's amazing. All right, so you said about the movie. So when I was a kid, you were a kid, you would go to the movies and you'd watch it on the big screen, uninterrupted, right? Uninterrupted, no phone. I know everybody watches, because now with Netflix and all these other streaming devices, I never watch anything on my phone. I can't watch anything on my phone. I can watch a short YouTube video.
Right.
But I have friends. I did a video for my nephew a couple of years ago. He got married, and I shot his video. Actually, it was my niece. Shot their video, and I sent it to her, and I said, "Listen, the only thing I want you to promise me, you're not going to watch this, your wedding, the very first time on your damn phone."
Right.
Put it. I said,
"Sit down and
watch
it."
I said, "Watch it on your big screen TV." But there are people that will watch the, just like I said, they're watching a movie, they're talking, and then they're doing something else.
Too much multitasking.
Yeah.
Bad idea, bad thing. And lots of people think they have ADHD. You do not have ADHD.
There you go.
You just need to slow down and be present and be attentive.
All right, so seriously, talk about that, because there is so much. When I have my, all right, I go on vacation, I'm telling you, my phone goes in the safe. If I'm on a boat, it's left at the hotel. You are absolutely liberated. These kids have their phones. Go stand like in a bank, if you go to a bank anymore, everyone does everything online. But you see, everyone's on their phone. Nobody interacts. So these kids always have their mind working, right? So,
and it's funny too, because we're saying kids, but I think even some older adults do it too, because like if I'm jogging through the neighborhood in the morning, you can always tell when people don't really feel like interacting with their neighbors. You're kind of required to, but they'll be really into their phones and trying to like, "You're not doing good morning. Hey, how are you?" Because yeah, I want that social interaction. You don't get to hide behind your phone and not interact. But that's the world we're living in now, where people really try to do that sort of thing.
I know.
And then with the whole AI thing, it also makes you wonder, what am I going to be privy to in areas of my life where I have real concern when I'm seeking professional help? Do you want your professional to be solely reliant on AI, or do you want that person to really have been able to dig in and get the knowledge and do the work and find evidence-based practices and that sort of thing?
That's a great, great point. Again, you could pull articles all day long, but if you don't really understand the stuff behind it, well, it's like math. Are kids learning how to add and subtract? Are they still doing that? Someone told me, I know they're using calculators. Back in my day, when you take anything, you could not bring a calculator to school.
Right, you couldn't. You had to show your work, is what they used to say. Show your work, and so you had to know how to get to the answer. And when I think about AI, I think that it was intended to make life easier in terms of like, if you need to locate a certain source, find a certain source, not create all of these full bodies of work from a source. I think it's meant to like help you in your search.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think.
No, I agree. I'm sure it was probably a lot of things that started for a great cause, and then
and just go off the rails. Yeah. But what I'm hopeful about is that I know there are people out there, and now this part I do like, is that whole new genres of professions open up every time this sort of thing comes about, because it comes with its advantages and its disadvantages.
Right.
And so then we need professionals that can address the advantages and disadvantages.
Oh, that's true.
And so I like that. I know there are people out there hard at work, just as much as you and I are talking about it. They're trying to address the same issues that we're looking at. So I'm excited to see what that's going to bring in the next 5 to 10 years to 20 years and get it all together. But in the meantime, I think we're going to have a lot of hits and misses waiting on it to all be worked out.
Yeah. All right. So one more thing on this AI thing, since we're on this, because again, people are always looking for advice, always looking for mm-hmm. advice. And there's probably people out there that are now writing articles. First of all, there's people on social media, you and I talked about it, where they're giving advice on, could be dating, could be on women, giving advice to guys.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them are, they don't have any kind of an education. They're just mm-hmm. talking. Right?
They're just talking. They're giving their opinion and based on their experience.
Yes. But they're giving it as advice. That's the scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to say, hey, I'm one guy giving my advice to other guys, but... Yeah. So.
Well, in terms of that, I'll say this. So I had someone email me to see if I treat NPD, Narcissistic Personality Disorder. And I'm like, oh, when and where were you diagnosed with this? In AI diagnoses. They put into AI.
Stop right there. What do you mean they put into AI? Like the chat?
The chat GPT or whatever. They asked what are the components or the characteristics of a person with narcissistic personality disorder. They themselves decided that they fit all of this criteria. And I had to explain to them, you're unable to diagnose yourself with narcissistic personality disorder. It's not as common as one may think it is, and it would require a whole battery of assessments to be performed on you, but we can do that, and we can also sort of work out what are some of the things that people around you have told you, and what have you noticed for yourself that makes you think you may have something wrong with your personality. You might not necessarily be a narcissist, but maybe there are some other areas that need attention. But it just goes to show these are the sort of things that people are doing with AI. They're skipping what they consider to be the middleman, which sometimes is a professional, and just leaning to their own understanding based on what they generate.
Wow, man.
Yeah. So I would tell people, take everything with a grain of salt. Some things are useful in small doses for certain things. But other things, you need to really deal in the here, the now, the active, the present, and not any other realm.
That's a good point.
There are realms that we want everyone to delve into, but those realms are more of a higher order nature.
Yeah. All right, so why don't we close out with the good of the AI? That you think is good?
Okay. The good of the AI is that I think it demonstrates that technology is steadily striving and moving forward, and that there are some incredible minds out there doing incredible things to try and help the world and aid us all. That's number one. The downside? The downside would be the loss of the human and humane component. There's nothing in the world that can compare to the thinking, feeling, doing component of what it is to be a complex human being.
Excellent.
You can't replace that with anything.
Excellent. And I'm going to add to that. I don't know if this is good or bad or otherwise, but again, getting back to that woman, the young girl who had this fake friend on her phone, and I don't remember if she had parents. I don't remember what the situation mm-hmm. was. But man, I would say get out. And even though it is hard to get out. But even if you do an online community, start there.
Mm-hmm. Start there.
Yeah, start there, and then you can meet someone in real life.
Know when something is a catalyst for something greater. It's okay if you start out there to meet people, to test your abilities to connect and interact, but at some point you take the training wheels off and you get out there for real and do what needs to be done to connect with other people.
Oh, that's great. That's great advice. Lola, good stuff.
Good stuff, Robbie. And as always, drink responsibly. Thank you for joining us for Robbie and Lola and Lola and Robbie. And we'll see you next time.
Excellent.
Cheers.
Thank you.